If you have your Bibles this morning, if you'll turn with us to the book of Matthew, chapter 26. Chapter 26 and verse 36. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, Sit ye here, while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here, and watch with me. And he went a little further, and fell on his face, and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples, and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, What? Could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples and saith unto them, Sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. Father, we are thankful this morning that we are privileged to know Jesus. We are thankful for this great plan of salvation, all that it took for you to bring to us eternal life. I pray that you'd help us this morning to worship Jesus, to realize the great suffering and sacrifice that you went through to give to us eternal life. I pray that you'd bless this congregation to know Jesus. Lord, we don't want to just know about you. We want to know you for ourselves. I pray this morning, O God, that you would instruct us out of your word. Make us aware of the awesome sacrifice that Jesus made for us to save our soul. And draw us to the Son of God today. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I would like to speak to you for a few minutes this morning on the agony of Gethsemane. The agony of Gethsemane. Last week I talked to you about the Mount of Transfiguration, where Jesus was transfigured before three of his disciples on the Mount of Transfiguration. He took with him Peter and James and John, and on the mountain, while he prayed, he was transfigured before them, and they beheld the deity, the glory of the deity of the Son of God on the Mount of Transfiguration. Now then, today we're going to the garden. The Garden of Gethsemane. We're on our way to the cross, but we're on our way to something beyond the cross. We're on our way to the resurrection morning. 2 Sundays from now is Easter. We're on our way to resurrection morning. But before we get there, we got to pass through the garden with Jesus. And Jesus comes from the Mount of Transfiguration into the valley below, sin cursed. There's a few more days of his ministry left, and now he's come to the end of his ministry, and he's facing the cross, and he goes to the garden after he has partook of the Lord's Supper, or instituted the Lord's Supper with his disciples, and now he's headed to the Garden of Gethsemane. And in this garden, he will leave his disciples on the edge of the garden, all except Peter and James and John. He will take those same three disciples with him, further into the garden, the same ones that were with him on the Mount of Transfiguration, that saw his glory there, he will take those same three disciples with him into the garden, and there they will behold not his deity, but his humanity. They're going to see the humanity of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As Jesus comes to the garden, he comes there with great sorrow, great agony of soul. He takes Peter, James, and John with him into that garden. He expresses to them the agony of his heart and of his soul. He shares with them the deep feelings of his heart. And he says to them, I am exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. I'm under a crushing load. Why did he share that with his disciples, Peter, James, and John? He shared that with them because he was just as much human as he was God. And because when you are brokenhearted and when you are crushed, you share it with people that you love that are close to you. And here is Jesus sharing the brokenness of his heart, a crushing burden upon him as he enters into the Garden of Gethsemane. I'm sorrowful even unto death. And Jesus leaves Peter and James and John at this particular point, and he says to them, I want you to watch with me here, and I'm going a little further to pray. And Jesus went a little further into the garden, and there he began to pray. The Bible says that he fell on his face. Jesus fell prostrate in that garden. And he began to cry out to his Father. He prayed with great agony. He prayed with great fervency there in that garden. What was it that was crushing Jesus? What was it that was so troublesome to Christ as he came into that garden? What was the burden of his heart? What was the burden of his soul? Was it merely the fact that he knew he was about to die? There are men of much inferior character to Christ that have faced death with much greater courage than this. It wasn't just the fact that Jesus was about to die, that Jesus was so disturbed in his heart. It was far more to it than that. You see, Jesus is facing this hour of his life with complete knowledge of what lies ahead of him. He knows what's ahead. He just got through telling his disciples that he's about to suffer, be rejected, die. And he knows what lies ahead. He's not like us. We face situations in life. We don't know really what all lies before us. But Jesus faced this hour of his life knowing the sufferings that lay ahead of him, perfectly conscious of what he was about to go through. And so it wasn't like us facing an hour like this. Jesus faced it perfectly conscious. He had just celebrated the Lord's Supper, instituted the Lord's Supper, and said, this is my blood that's shed for you, and this is my body that is broken for you. And he did that before he shed his blood, and he did that before his body was broken. And Jesus was conscious of what lay ahead for him. And so he faces this hour with perfect knowledge of what he's about to go through. And he understands, and I want you to understand that Jesus did not anticipate his physical sufferings with joy. Jesus knew that physical sufferings involved pain too. And he wasn't anxious to go through that beating that would leave his back a bloody pulp. And he wasn't anxious to go to that cross and be nailed to that cross and hang there for hours upon that cross in agonizing pain. Jesus was not looking forward to that, but it was more to his suffering than just physical suffering. There was the suffering of his emotions. That was the suffering that was entailed to Jesus in the fact that Jesus was rejected and forsaken by his friends. And he had predicted to his disciples, he said, all men are going to forsake me this night. You are going to forsake me. Peter, you are going to deny me three times. Before the cock crows twice, you will deny me three times. Jesus was conscious of the fact that these men who were the closest to him on the face of this earth were going to turn their backs on him. And some of them were going to deny him. And all of them were going to forsake him. Jesus understood that he faced this hour alone. You talk about being alone. Jesus knew this hour was going to be his alone. Only Jesus could redeem us. Only Jesus could save us. Only the sacrifice of Jesus could atone for our sins. And he could only do it alone. It was God alone who spoke the worlds into existence. It was God alone who created all the things around us. And it would be God alone who would recreate it. And now then Jesus is facing this hour alone. And he knew that all would forsake him. He felt the emotional pain, just like you would, of being forsaken by his friends. But that was more to his suffering than just emotional pain. Jesus also understood that his suffering would involve spiritual pain. And that on the cross, he would be, and I say this with some hesitation, but I don't know any other way to say it any better, he would experience God-forsakenness on the cross. And on the cross, he would cry, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Jesus would experience the pain, spiritual pain of being cut off from God. The pain of a soul in hell. God forsakenness. He's going there to take our place. He's going there to suffer our penalty. He's going there to experience God forsakenness on the cross of Calvary. And Jesus, above all things that Jesus drew back from, this is the main thing that Jesus drew back from in that garden. This is what caused him great anguish of heart and spirit. He was going to experience God-forsakenness. That was a reason why he's going to experience God-forsakenness. Because the Bible tells us that he who knew no sin became sin for us. The one who knew no sin became sin for us. He would bear our sins in his own body on the cross so that every vile sin, every terrible deed would be borne by Jesus upon the cross of Calvary. The guilt of my sins, the guilt of your sins, the guilt of the sins of the whole world would be placed upon Jesus Christ. And he would pay the penalty for the sins of the whole world. The sacrifice of Jesus was sufficient to atone for the sins of all men, everywhere, in every age that ever lived or ever would live. That sacrifice would be sufficient. It was a sacrifice of the God-man. And Jesus was bearing our sins. I'm telling you, the spotless, sinless Lamb of God who came from the right hand of the Father into this world, who never knew sin. He lived among sinful men, but never knew sin. And now then, he has made sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And so Jesus drew back from becoming sin for us. Something inside of Jesus that dreaded this moment. Something inside of Jesus that drew back from this awful sacrifice that lay before him. And Jesus prayed in that garden. And he said, my Father, if you be willing, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Father, my Father, you hear Jesus crying, my Father. Here he is alone. My Father. On the cross he will cry, Father, forgive them. Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. But here in the garden, he addresses his Father, my Father. if you be willing, let this cup pass from me. Now you understand that Jesus understood that doing the will of the Father meant suffering the wrath of the Father. You know, we think about doing the will of God, obtaining the favor of God. But Jesus understood that doing the will of the Father would mean suffering the wrath of the Father. That He would have to take upon Himself the judgment of our sins in His own body. So doing the will of the Father involves suffering the wrath of the Father. And Jesus said, "Oh Father, if You be willing, let this cup," and this cup, the cup represents the wrath of God, "let this cup pass from me." Oh my. You know, this is the humanity of Jesus. Peter, James, and John saw His deity on that mountain. They saw the glory of the Son of God. But now then, in the garden, here is His humanity. "Father, if You be willing, if there is another way, if there's some other way to do this, then let this cup pass from me." You see, there was some things Jesus was aware of in that garden. He was aware of the fact that the salvation of the whole world depended on Him. Did you get that? I said Jesus was aware as He went into that garden that the salvation of the whole world depended on Him. And here He is with that burden upon Him. The salvation of the whole world is depending on me. And not only that, but Jesus understood that in order to secure that salvation, there had to be a sufficient sacrifice. That's the only way that men could be saved. There had to be a sufficient sacrifice. And so, when Jesus faced this hour, realizing the salvation of the whole world depended upon Him, and realizing that nobody could be saved without a sufficient sacrifice, He didn't stop with that prayer, "Father, if You be willing, let this cup pass from me." But He went on and prayed and said, "Nevertheless, not my will, but Thine be done." And my brother, when Jesus prayed that prayer, He didn't just quit praying once and that was it. He come back and found His disciples sleeping and asked them, "Could you not watch with me 1 hour?" Went back, the Bible says, and prayed the same prayer. Now understand this. Jesus, when He came back and said to His disciples, "Could you not watch with me 1 hour?" indicates to us that Jesus wasn't out there about 5 minutes. He was there agonizing for a long time. "Father, if You be willing, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but Thine be done." The Bible says He went back the second time and prayed the same prayer. He come back, found the disciples sleeping, went back and prayed the third time, and prayed the same prayer. 3 times. When He come back that third time, after praying the same prayer, found His disciples sleeping, He said, "Sleep on, take your rest." And I believe that Jesus came back at peace. The third time, He had gotten the victory. Hallelujah. The Bible says that He prayed with strong crying and tears, and He was heard. God heard His prayer. Third time, He come back with victory, completely surrendered to the will of the Father. "Father, this is Your will. I'm going through with it." Praise God. He come back with complete victory.
Well, I want you to understand this. Listen to me now. There are times when repeating the same prayer is not vain repetition. I said there are times when repeating the same prayer is not vain repetition. Jesus prayed the same prayer three times. He prayed with such agony that His sweat became, as it were, great drops of blood. I mean, Jesus was wrestling in prayer in that garden. And I want you to understand this as well. That every one of you are going to have your Gethsemane. Every one of you are going to come to some point in your life where you dread what's ahead of you. Where there are decisions to be made in your life. Maybe it might be you that the doctor says your baby is deformed. And the best thing you can do is to kill that baby so that you won't have to deal with the consequences of birthing this baby. It may be you that comes to that point where there is a tremendous decision to be made. And you understand, if you do the will of the Father, that there is a sacrifice ahead of you. That if you do the will of the Father, that there is suffering down the road. And you have come to your Gethsemane. It may be that you marry somebody that don't turn out to be the ideal companion. It may be that you marry somebody that makes your life miserable. It may be that you have to make decisions about the will of God. I'm telling you, you're going to have your Gethsemane. Everybody here is going to have their Gethsemane. Where you face the future. Where you realize that doing the will of God is going to cost you. That doing the will of God involves suffering. And you're going to have to pray. And maybe you'll pray like Jesus, if it be your will, let this cup pass from me. But brother, at some point we've all got to come to the place where Jesus came and say, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Choices made in life. All of us make choices in life. Jesus was making a tremendous choice right here to do the will of the Father. The salvation of the whole world depended on His making the right choice. And finally gotten the victory saying, not my will but thine be done. And it may be that the eternal salvation of your soul depends on the choice that you are making. And you must come to the point to where you're willing to say, Father, not my will but thine be done. Sister Lane mentioned they're making decisions in their lives. Some of you young people are making decisions in your lives about companions and about jobs and about places to live and all of these things that are very critical to you. You're making decisions about these things. And I'm telling you, brother, you know, it's very critical for us. Who was that man that had that orphanage in Britain? And the man of great faith. George Mueller, he said, this is the way that I determine the will of God. He said, I pray until it doesn't matter to me which way it goes. And I pray until it doesn't matter what God says. I'm willing to do it. We pray, God, not my will, thine be done. This is the victory that Jesus won. This is the peace that He felt. When He come back from that third prayer, He was willing to do the will of the Father. Hallelujah. That will would lead to the cross. We're going to save that for next week. We're going to see what it cost Him to do the will of the Father. But we're not just going to see what it cost Him to do the will of the Father. We're going to see how it paid off for Him to do the will of the Father. And I want to say to you this morning, it may seem like doing the will of the Father is such a tremendous thing. But hear me now. when you submit to the will of the Father. It may cost you something to do it, but I'm telling you, the blessings that prevail once you've submitted to the will of the Father, eventually you're going to bless God that you submitted to the will of God. Hallelujah. I wonder this morning, is anybody here struggling with the will of God? Anybody here in this service this morning that in your heart you've got decisions to make and there's a will that you have and you are reluctant to submit it to the will of God? I want to tell you this, and we're going to pray. There's a young man talking to me one day. He said, he didn't tell me this, but he said, I am so miserable. My life, since I got married, has been the most miserable time of my life. And he said, when I was dating this girl, he said, I was afraid to ask God, is this your will? Because I wanted it to be God's will. I didn't want it not to be God's will. I wanted this to be God's will, so I didn't ask God, is this your will? So I went on my way. And it's been the most miserable years of my life. Now listen, I'm telling you, every one of you, it pays to pray through like Jesus and say, not my will, thine be done. Let's stand together. Father, we're thankful this morning for the privilege that we've had to be in the house of God. We thank you this morning for Jesus, who was willing to go to the cross for our sins, who, even though he knew what was ahead of him, the suffering that entailed his doing the will of God, we're so grateful this morning that Jesus was willing to do the will of God. And I pray, Father, that you'd help us this morning. Lord, no doubt many of us are at a crossroads, making decisions. Lord, help us to come to the place that we can say, Father, not my will, but thine be done. And I pray, dear God, that you would bless this congregation, that we would recognize the sacrifice that Jesus made for our souls. Lord, we'd never look elsewhere for anything to satisfy us. We'd look to Jesus. We believe in Jesus. We commit our life to Jesus. We'd follow in the footsteps of Jesus. We'd follow the example of Jesus, who prayed, not my will, but thine be done. Lord, I pray that that would be true of every one of us, for the Bible tells us that not everyone that saith, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. So I pray, dear Lord, that every one of us would recognize the value of doing the will of God. Lord, may our hearts be surrendered and submitted to you. I pray, Father, that we would be crucified with Christ, our will subjected to yours. I pray that our life would be directed by your Spirit. We believe, Lord, you'll lead us right. You'll be our guide, even until death. And we'll give you the praise and honor, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. The Lord willing, next Sunday, I'll be preaching on the crucifixion. The next Sunday, the Lord willing, I'll be preaching on the resurrection. Here's what I hope to do for you. I hope to present Jesus to you in such a way that you'll see how wonderful Jesus is. And you just can't turn him away. Hallelujah. Jesus is a wonderful friend. Thank you. Lord bless you.